Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So back in the early 90s, NBC came out with a new promo called Must See TV. Who remembers Must See TV? All right, so they wanted people to know that when it came to TV shows that could not be missed during the week, NBC had them. Some of those shows included Wings, Mad About You, Cheers, Frasier, and Seinfeld. But in 1994, a new show was added to that list by the name of Friends. And Friends quickly became a fan favorite, and by some of your response, I'm sure some of y'all enjoy Friends as well. It's still one of the most watched, one of the most popular TV shows of all times. And for many of the viewers, what made this show so special was the cast. Were the characters on the show, Monica, Chandler, Joey, Phoebe, and of course, Ross and Rachel. But it wasn't just the characters of the show, it was also the actors that were cast in those roles. But you may not know that Courtney Cox, who played Monica, was not originally NBC's choice for the part. In fact, when NBC wrote the character Monica, they did so with the actress Janine Garofalo in mind. But after Janine Garofalo passed up the part so she could go join the cast of Saturday Night Live, Courtney Cox won that part. All right, we'll tie all this in, don't worry. So here we are, it's Easter Sunday, right? We are celebrating once again the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We get to gather once again for this glorious celebration. Now, NBC had what they believed was must-see TV. And while the shows that were on their must-see TV list, while they were hits and people watched them, the reality is that they're shows that we could have lived without. But I want you to know, when it comes to the resurrection is a must-hear story. The resurrection is a must-hear story. The truth that Jesus hung on that cross for your sins and my sins, the truth that he was laid in that tomb, and that he walked out of that tomb on the third day alive and well, this is a must-hear story. The resurrection is a must-hear story. It is the most important truth and the most powerful story of all time. You know, as a pastor, I like to share stories. Sometimes I share funny stories. Sometimes I share stories from my childhood. Sometimes I share thought-provoking stories. I like to share stories. But at the end of the day, there is only one story that needs to be told. At the end of the day, there's only one story that you need to hear. There's only one story that I need to hear. There's only one story that all people need to hear today, tomorrow, and until the Lord returns, and it is the story of the resurrection. It is the truth that Jesus is alive. Amen. The resurrection is a must-hear story. So over the last few weeks, we've been in a series here at First Baptist Church Stockdale titled The Cast of Easter. And as we've been going through this series, we've been looking at some of the familiar characters in this familiar cast, in this familiar story. But this year, as we've been looking back at this familiar story, and as we've been looking at some of these characters that we see time and time again as we look at this story this year, I've been asking us to see someone different, like Janine Garofalo, to see someone different in some of these familiar roles. I've been asking us to see you and me. And I've been encouraging us to ask this question: where do we fit into this story? And so even if this is your first time with us in this series this morning, this is the question that I'm encouraging us to ask once again today. As we look back at this story, let's ask, where do we fit into this story? Which character do we most align with, or what character do we see our image in? So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at verses 1 through 15. Matthew 28, 1 through 15. Now, as you're turning there, let me set this up for you. Jesus was crucified on Friday, and his body was laid in the tomb. But even with Jesus being dead, the chief priests and the Pharisees were still worried about what Jesus could do, or what his followers could do, the influence that Jesus had on his followers, what they might do. And so in Matthew chapter 27, verse 63, we see that they remembered what Jesus had said when he was still alive. Jesus said, "After 3 days, I will rise again." So here Jesus is, crucified and lying in the tomb, but they're still worried about what he might do or what his disciples might do. And so the chief priests and the Pharisees, they go to Pilate, and they share their concerns with Pilate. And so Pilate tells them, go and seal up the tomb as best as you know how. Make it as secure as you know how. And so they go and they seal up the tomb. But not only that, but they leave these guards there at the tomb to guard the tomb. They wanted to make sure that no one, that nothing could get in and out of that tomb. In other words, they made sure that the disciples couldn't get into that tomb. They made sure that everything was sealed up so that there would be no funny business happening. There's absolutely no way that body was coming out of that tomb. The only way for that body to come out of that tomb was for a miracle to happen. In other words, the only way for that body to come out of that tomb was if there was a miracle from God. It was going to take an act of God. Well, I've got good news for you today, because on the third day, God acted. On the third day, God acted. I want you to hear me. They tried to prevent the resurrection. They tried to stop this man named Jesus from having any more influence. They had already crucified him. All they had to do was keep him dead. All they had to do was keep him in that tomb. But I want you to know that not even a giant stone or some guards could stop the power of God from working. There's not a single stone in this world, not a single guard in this world that could prevent God from acting. And so on the third day, God acted. And when God acted, the stone was rolled away and Jesus walked out of that tomb victoriously. And I want you to know, the same power that rolled that stone away, the same power that brought Jesus back to life, that same resurrection power is the same power that can release you from the bondage of the sin and the shame that you're living in today. Because if you know Jesus, then you know the one who overcame the grave. If you know Jesus, then you know the one who overcame the grave. So do you know Jesus today? Do you know the one who overcame the grave? I don't care how long you've been living in your sin. You might say, man, I've been in my sin too long. My sin's too big. It's too great. I'm trapped in my sin. That's what the enemy would like for you to believe, that there's no hope for you. But if you know Jesus, then you know the one who overcame the grave. And because he overcame the grave, there's nothing in your life that he can't overcome today. So the grave was sealed up. There were guards placed in front of the tomb. And this is where we pick up in our passage today. So read with me Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. It says, "After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. The angel told the women, 'Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you. So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell the disciples the news. Just then Jesus met them and said, greetings. They came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus told them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. As they were on their way, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled with the elders and agreed on a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money and told them, say this, his disciples came during the night and stole him while we were sleeping. If this reaches the governor's ears, we will deal with him and keep you out of trouble. They took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been spread among Jewish people to this day. Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting those first three words that we see there at the start of verse 1. Verse 1 begins with these three words. It says, after the Sabbath. After the Sabbath. The Sabbath, of course, was the day of rest for the Jewish people. But the Sabbath was rooted in more than simply the law. The Sabbath was rooted all the way back in creation. If you remember, back in the very beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, we see that God created everything in the first 6 days. And then on the seventh day, we're told that he rested. Now, I want you to understand, on the seventh day, God didn't rest because he was tired. On the seventh day, God rested because the work was complete. So as we look at Holy Week, which began this last Sunday on Palm Sunday, on the first 6 days of the week, we see Jesus doing a lot of things. We see Jesus teaching in the temple. We see Jesus sharing in the Passover meal and sharing in the first Lord's Supper with his disciples. We see him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, but the greatest thing that we see Jesus do in those first 6 days is what he did on the cross. He went to the cross and he died for your sins and mine. And right before he died, just before he hung his head to die, he said these words, "It is finished." And then after he died, Sabbath was experienced. Once again, rest was experienced. But rest wasn't experienced because Jesus was tired. Sabbath was experienced once again because the work was complete. The work was finished. What Jesus had come to do had been accomplished. I want you to know the cross is the completed work for our salvation. The cross is the completed work for our salvation. I want you to understand the Sabbath is more than just a day. The Sabbath is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And when you come to know Jesus as Lord, through the completed work of the cross, what you find is that not only can you not work for your salvation, but you don't have to. Because Jesus did the work for you on the cross. Everything that was necessary, that needed to be done in order for you to be saved, Jesus did that work for you on that cross. And so the call to come to the cross for salvation is not a call for us to come and work for our salvation. The call for us to come to the cross is a call for us to come and rest in Jesus, because he is our salvation. He's the one that did the work for us. The cross is the completed work for our salvation. And if you're here today and you're still trying to work for your salvation, if you're here today and you're still trying to earn your salvation, then I would encourage you, turn to Jesus and rest in the finished work of the cross. But now as we continue to walk through this passage, there are three groups of people or three individuals in this cast of Easter that I want us to consider this morning as we ask this question once again, where do we fit into this story? So first, We see the first ones to hear the good news in the cast. We see the first ones to hear the good news. We're told in verse 1 that it was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary that were the first ones on the scene. They were going to the tomb to finish the preparation of Jesus' body that they had been unable to finish because of the Sabbath. And when they were going to that tomb, they were fully expecting to find Jesus' body still there. They were fully expecting to see Jesus laying in that tomb. But what they were going to find out when they got to that tomb is that things weren't going to go as expected. Things were going to go far better than expected. So we're in the middle of tax season right now. Now, some of you, just hearing that word tax, that brings some dread into the inner depths of your soul. All right, I get it. You may be thinking right now, what are we doing talking about taxes? This is supposed to be a day of joy. Why are you bringing up taxes right now? All right, well, think about that inner feeling of dread that you felt when you hear that word taxes. Right, and multiply that by 100 or 1,000 times. This is the feeling of sorrow that the women would be having as they approach this empty tomb. Jesus was dead. Jesus had been crucified. But now imagine doing your taxes and you're expecting that you are going to owe quite a bit of money. But when you get done with your taxes, you find out that you don't owe. You actually are going to receive quite a large return. Now you don't have a feeling of dread. Now you have a feeling of great joy, right? Your sorrow has been turned to celebration. When the women went to the tomb, they went with this expectation that Jesus was still in the grave, still dead. But what they discovered was that Jesus was still alive. Listen, this was the greatest return in the history of returns. These women, they were the first one to hear the good news that Jesus had risen from the grave. They were the first ones to find out that the tomb was empty, that Jesus was not there because he had risen just as he had promised. And so instead of great sorrow, now they were experiencing great joy. So let me pause right here and say this. The good news of the resurrection can turn our sorrow into celebration. The good news of the resurrection can turn our sorrow into celebration. Maybe you came here today with great sorrow in your life. Maybe you came here with sorrow because of something going on in your life. Maybe there's something going on in your work. Maybe there's something going on in your family. But you came here today with great sorrow. Maybe you came here with great sorrow because you know the sin and the bondage that you are living in every day, and that brings you great sorrow. Maybe you're here and you have great sorrow because, man, you know you are living a life far from God. I want you to know you can turn to Jesus today, and you can experience the hope of the resurrection today, and Jesus can turn your sorrows into celebration. The good news of the resurrection does that for us. The good news of the resurrection turns our sorrow into celebration. Now, after these women hear the good news of the resurrection, they're given a command in verse 7. The command is this: go quickly and tell. In other words, after they hear the good news that Jesus is not dead, Jesus is not in the tomb, Jesus is alive, after they hear this good news, they're told to go and share this good news with others. So as we ask this question, where do we fit in this story? I want you to know, if you have heard and received this good news that Jesus is alive, if you have heard that Jesus has risen from the grave, and if you have surrendered to the risen Jesus as the Lord of your life, then you also have this command to go quickly and tell, to go and share this good news with others, to tell all people in all places until it's all over. So where do we fit in this story? We are called, just like the women, to go quickly and tell. So the first ones we see in this cast are the first ones to hear the good news. Second, we see the risen Lord in the cast. We see the risen Lord in the cast. And of course, the risen Lord is Jesus. And I've said this in every single message, and I'm going to say it again today. Jesus is the most important member of the cast of Easter because without Jesus, there would be no Easter. Without Jesus, there would be no reason to celebrate. You can take away the family pictures. You can take away the nice clothes that we wear on Easter Sunday. You know, we were supposed to have our fellowship meal in the park. Now we're going to have it here at the church. We could take away the park on Easter Sunday, right? And you still have an Easter. We still have a reason to celebrate. But if you take away Jesus, we have absolutely no reason to celebrate. Without Jesus, there would be no Easter. Jesus is the most important member of the cast of Easter. Now, I want you to see what Jesus says in verse 9. He says one word here. He says the word greetings. Now, some translations use the word rejoice. Other translations say that Jesus said all hail. Really, what Jesus was doing here was, in the original language, he was just giving a normal greeting that people would use at that time. And so, while this greeting that Jesus gave would have been a normal greeting on a typical basis, because this was Jesus giving this greeting, because it was the one who had been crucified and laid in this tomb, because it was the one that they thought was still in the grave, this was anything but a normal greeting. Because this wasn't just a greeting from anyone, this was a greeting from the risen Lord. Now, I love this because death thought that it had the final word. The enemies of Jesus thought that they had won. But when Jesus comes onto the scene with just one word, greetings, we are reminded that death didn't have the final word. Resurrection did. Amen. Death didn't have the final word. The resurrection did. Now, as we look at the cast of Easter and as we ask this question, where do we fit in this story? We know that we are not Jesus. We know that we are not the risen Lord, but the question that I have for you is this: do you know Jesus as your Lord? Listen, death wasn't the final word for Jesus, and death doesn't have to be the final word for you either. Resurrection can have the final word in your life, because if you know Christ, then you gain in Christ a new life. You can be set free from the bondage and the guilt and the struggles that have enslaved you for years. Today, by coming to Christ, you can receive a new word, and it doesn't have to be death. It can be resurrection. So we see the risen Lord present in the cast. Third and finally this morning, we see those who responded to the risen Lord in the cast. There are really two groups of people here that we see respond to the risen Lord. So first, we see the women's response to the risen Lord. As Jesus encounters the women, just as we saw, he says the word greetings to them, and then we see their response as verse 9 continues. It says, they came up, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. When faced with the risen Lord, the women immediately began to worship him as their Lord. Now let's contrast this with the second group of people that we see respond to the risen Lord. Second, we see the guards' response to the risen Lord. The guards had been tasked with sealing up the tomb and watching over that tomb, protecting that tomb to make sure that Jesus didn't come out of that tomb. But when Jesus came out of that tomb alive and well, what we see is that they didn't worship Jesus. Instead, they continued to reject Jesus. And as we read in verses 11 through 15, they began to plot the cover-up of the resurrection. So two groups of people were faced with the risen Lord, and yet their responses were drastically different. And so as we ask ourselves this question, where do we fit in this story? I think it's appropriate to ask, how will you respond to the risen Lord today? How will you respond to the risen Lord today? Will you reject him like the guards, or will you worship him as your Lord? How will you respond to the risen Lord today? If you've never responded in worship, if you've never responded by surrendering your life to the risen Lord as your Savior and Lord, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond today. The women had a chance to respond. The guards had a chance to respond. Now you have a chance to respond to the risen Lord today. And in so just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this will be your chance to respond, not to me, but to the risen Lord today. This is your opportunity to either reject him as Lord or to worship him as Lord. And so if you're here and you would say, I've never surrendered to Jesus as my Lord, but today I'm ready to do that. I've never allowed Jesus to be the Lord of my life, but today I'm ready to do that. Then as we sing this song, would you step out of your seat and come? I'm going to be standing right down front. Join me. What a great day to experience resurrection. What a great day to experience new life in Jesus. If you need to experience that new life today, respond. Maybe you're here and you would say, you know what? I've already responded to Jesus. He is my Lord, but I've never taken that next step of baptism like Allison did this morning. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to make that commitment with you today. Let's make your faith in Christ public. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, you know what? I've given my life to Christ, but if I'm honest, I haven't been walking faithfully in that relationship, and today, I just need to recommit my life to Christ. What a great day to do that. Easter Sunday, to recommit to following Christ in faithfulness. If you need to recommit your life today, then I would invite you to respond as well. Finally, if you're here and you would say, you know what, I've given my life to Christ, I've been baptized by immersion, I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale, and I know that God's calling me to make this my church home, to join this church body on mission here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you as well. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.